we're holding on Samaches Amud Beis by the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Hamocher is a sada, a person sells a field. Mocher savon, so as usual throughout the parak, we're dealing with what exactly is and isn't included in the sale by default, even without specifying. So mocher savonim shein l'tzorcho. First of all, he's selling along with it the stones that are needed for the field, which we're going to describe in the Gemara what the purpose of those stones is. The point being, even though they're metaltlin, and we've been saying throughout the parak that generally when you sell real estate, metaltlin aren't automatically included, but these are used specifically for a particular purpose, which we're going to discuss in the Gemara two opinions what that purpose is. They're not moved from one field to another, so therefore they're considered to be sold. They're sold along with the field. They're considered as though they were mechub. It's possible, for example, we might generalize from that and say that nowadays, let's say with a house, you have certain kinds of things which not only always stay in place, but you generally don't transfer them from one house to another, let's say a refrigerator or a washing machine. So maybe by the same logic, those would be included, but I don't know. Anyway, so they're the stones that are necessary, that are used for the field, as we'll see in the Gemara. There's hakonim shavakerem shem letzorkoi, and also the reeds or the sticks that are in the vineyard that are needed for the vineyard, which we're going to see in the Gemara what those are all about. The Ashbam points out, by the way, now we said a field, what are we talking about, a vineyard all of a sudden? The implication obviously is that if a person sells a field and in the area of that field is a vineyard, then that is sold as well. As the Mishnah is going to go on to tell us, there are two types of trees that when you sell a field are not automatically included because they have a chashivus of their own, but all kinds of trees, and grapevines after all, are a type of tree, are in fact included with the sale of a field. Ordinarily, you sell a field, then all the trees that go with it, that are in that field, are automatically included. And here, even though those trees constitute a vineyard, same thing. So not only the vineyard is sold along with the field, but also the sticks that are used in the vineyard, as we'll see in the Gemara, what those sticks are for. Also the grain, the produce, which is still attached to the ground. And we'll see in the Gemara is going to discuss with each one of these things what the chiddush is. On the face of it, of course, you sell a field, then whatever is attached to the ground goes along with it. So, of course, the tavor should be included. So we'll see in the Gemara. Another one, v'eschitza sakanim shipchus mibeis roiva. Another thing that is sold automatically along with the field is a chitzas, so there's a girsa of rishonim michitzas, whatever, of kanim. So kanim are reeds, and chitzas sakanim or michitzas sakanim would be, sometimes you have, you'll have one underground root from which a whole bunch of reeds grow, one right next to the other. So you have like a whole thicket or a whole small plot of land over there that has reeds growing in it. So now, as long as it's chusimi beis roiva, as long as it's less than the size of beis roiva, a beis roiva is an area a little over 100 square amos. You have a beis sa, is an area where you can plant a saw of barley or of wheat or barley, and it's defined as 2,500 square amos. There are 24 roivas to a saw, because there are six cabin to a saw, and a roiva is a quarter of a cab, so 24. So 2,500 divided by 24 comes out to just over 100. So 100 square amos is called beis roiva. The point is, if this area where the reeds are growing together thickly is the size of beis roiva or larger, then it has a certain importance of its own, and therefore it's not automatically sold with the field unless you specify it. But if it's less than a beis roiva, then it's not so chashuv, and therefore it's bottled to the field and is sold along with it. Continues the Mishnah. There's a shemera she'ena asuya betit. Another thing automatically sold with the field is a little hut used by a guard, by somebody who's guarding the crops while they're growing and while they're drying and whatever. She'ena asuya betit, where that little hut is not they used to generally make them out of leaves or reeds or branches or something like that. So sometimes they would smear it with clay to make it more waterproof and to make it more firmly fixed in place. Other times not. So when it's not smeared with clay, then to make it more waterproof, then it's sold automatically along with the field. As opposed to if it is smeared with clay. Tosfos actually brings a little further along that Rabbeinu Hananel has the opposite girsa. If it is the Rashbam's point of it is that if it's not smeared with clay, then it's not so important. Therefore, it's bottled to the field. If it's smeared with clay, so therefore it's made more waterproof, then it has a certain chashivos of its own. So it's not automatically sold with the field. Rabbeinu Hananel takes the view the other way around. If it's smeared with clay, means that it's firmly fixed in place. Means therefore it's mechubal lekarka. It's attached to the ground. Therefore it goes along with the field like anything else attached to the ground. As opposed to if it's not, then it isn't principle movable. You can pick up the whole thing, the whole hut, and move it someplace else. So therefore, Rabbeinu Hananel learns that it wouldn't be bottled to the field, and it wouldn't automatically be sold with it. Okay. Next, there's a choruv she'enim murkav. Another thing automatically sold with the field is a carob tree that has not yet been grafted. Carob trees take a long time to grow. It takes many years for them to produce fruit. You have a famous story, I think, in Masechta Tainis, where somebody is in Masechta Tainis in connection with Choni Amagel, where a person is planting a carob tree and only like his grandson or great grandson gets to eat the fruit from it. So when a carob tree is younger, okay, so it's growing, eventually it'll start producing fruit. There comes a point, once it's old enough, that you start grafting branches onto it, the pastures from other carob trees, maybe from younger carob trees, whatever. The point being that until that's done, when you have the natural carob tree, it's not so choshul. Once it gets to the age, once it gets to the point where you start transplanting other branches onto it, then it's considered choshul. So then, as the Mishnah is going to go on to say, it's not bottled to the field. And another one, Ves Besulas HaShikma. And the last thing is, you sell a field, automatically you're selling a Besulas HaShikma. A shikma is a tree, it's called sycamore in English. It produces a type of figs, although they're not such good quality. They can be eaten in a pinch. But the main thing that you grow a shikma tree for is for the wood. It produces, eventually, it grows a very thick trunk and very strong, thick branches that can be used for beams, that can be used for building beams. So what you do is you have a shikma tree grows, and eventually, over time, It produces branches, and eventually you cut off those branches in order that now the energy of the tree is using will go into thickening the trunk, and then at that point now the shikma has an importance of its own because now it has a very thick, stout trunk that you can eventually use for building. But up until that point, we start cutting off the branches, it's not so choshul. So in short, the rule in the Mishnah so far is anything that's not choshul on its own, that's bottled to the field, and that's used exclusively with this field, like we said about the stones, even though they're metaltlin, is sold with the field. Aval, but the Mishnah continues, loy macha loyas avonim she'enim l'tzarka. You haven't automatically sold with the field stones in it that are not specifically for the use of the field, as we'll see in the Gemara, or sticks that are in the vineyard that are not specifically needed for the vineyard. So even though they're there, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, or grain that has already been harvested from the ground, even though it's lying there in the field to dry, because all of those are metaltlin and they're not used. So specifically with this field. On the other hand, but again, when the person sells the field, he says, I'm selling you the field and everything in it, and then these three things that we just said, the stones, the reeds, and the tavor would all be sold as well. However, either way, even if he says, he still won't have automatically sold. Fine, the Lehiva Chomash V'Seicha helps include metaltlin, but the following things from the list earlier in the Mishnah, or based on the list earlier in the Mishnah, are not metaltlin. In other words, in the Mishnah, what we said so far is there's two categories of things. there are things that are not so choshuv and they're metaltlin, but they're bottled to the field. And then you have things that are not metaltlin, they're attached to the ground, this thicket of reeds, the carob tree, etc., which are attached to the ground, but they're not so choshuv yet. So now when you say hi b'chol mashav asotha, then you're including the first category of things, the things that are metaltlin and not so important. You're not including the second category of things, the ones that are choshuv in and of themselves. Those you would have to specify on the bill of sale regardless. So loy macha, loy eschitzas akanim shei beis roiva. So therefore, by selling the field, you have not automatically sold a thicket of reeds that amounts to a beis roiva or larger, because since it takes up an area of a beis roiva of a little over 100 square amos, then it's considered choshuv of its own. 100 square amas, by the way, I pointed out by Ram Chaim Noah that an amma is about a foot and a half. Then you're talking about around 230 square feet, give or take, according to the Chazon Ish, who says that an amma is closer to two feet. Then according to him, it would be around 400 square feet. Whatever the point is, it's large enough to be choshuv of it on its own. So either way, that's not sold with the field. Or a guardhouse, this guard booth that is smeared with clay. That's according to the Rashbam's Girsa, because if it's smeared with clay, it's choshev and it's not bottle. According to Rabbeinu Hanan, it would be the other way around. If it's smeared with clay, then it is sold with the field because now it's permanently in place. Or a carob tree that's already been grafted, that's already had branches grafted onto it, because then it's choshuv on its own. V'loya sadana shikma, or the trunk of the shikma tree after it's had the branches chopped off, and you have the trunk left that continues growing over the years. Then you have now it's choshuv on its own, and therefore it's not bottled to the field. The Rashbam summarizes, in other words, in effect, what we would say is each of these things, the thicket of reeds or the shemera, etc., is in effect considered a field of its own. So imagine, for example, if you have you sell somebody two fields, you have another field between them. If I'm selling you the two fields and whatever is in them, you're not going to say the third field is included. It's not in them; it's between them. So the same way over here, in effect, what we'd say is you have a field, and between the various parts of the field, you have what amounts to another field, which is this carob tree or all these other things. So therefore, they're not included, even if he said hiva chol mashav asotha. You would actually have to specify them by name. So the Gemara starts off, my avonim shehim l'tzarka. What do we mean by stones that are needed for the field? Here in Bavel, they explain it means avne de akva. It means stones that are used to put on to put on top of the bundles of grain. So you harvest your grain, you make it in bundles, and then at that point you're going to be leaving it out in the field for a while to dry. Meanwhile, you don't want the wind to pick it up and then take it someplace else. So you put stones on them to weight them down. So according to the Chachamim of Bavel, that's the Avonim Shehin Letzarka, are stones that are being used for that purpose, to hold down the bundles of grain and keep them from flying away in the wind. Ula Omar, Ula gives a different definition. Avonim Asduris Vegeder. It means stones that are laid out in rows in order to make a fence for the field. So we're not talking about where they're mortared in place. Then obviously there's no chiddush. They're sold with the field. We're talking about that they're placed in position to make a fence, but they're not actually mortared together. Ula says that would be the definition of avonim shehim letzarka, and they're sold along with the field. So the Gemara asks, "Well, turn it up here, avonim tzvuras together." We have a brisa where Abchia says that the stones of our Mishnah are stones that are piled up to make a fence, implying that they're only piled up to be ready to take them and now assemble them into a fence, but not that they're actually already made into a fence. And the answer is Tony Sduris. You're right, you would have to change it based on what Ula is saying. You'd have to change the wording of the Braisa, not Sduris, where they're just piled up in a heap. And then at some point, you're going to go start taking stones out of the heap and building a fence, but rather Sduris, where they're already arranged in the position that they're going to be as a fence. And therefore, that's, and according to the Priya's Braisa, and according to Ula, those are the stones of our mission. Okay. Now, in the next perek, we're going to discuss a point that Reb Meir holds, or the Gemara is actually going to mention over there, several Tanoim who hold of the concept that when you sell something, you're selling all the things that are the tashmishim of it. We touched on that before. We said Reb Shimon Gamliel had said, we learned yesterday that when you sell a city, then automatically with it, you've sold the santer, and we discussed yesterday what the santer is. So we have examples where we have examples of various Tanoim who hold of the concept that when you sell something, you automatically sell the tashmishim, the things that are heavily used with it. So the mayor holds of that. Now the implication is the Chachamim disagree with him. So how does that affect the meaning of our Mishnah? So the Rav Meir, the Misaknan Afagav Delay Mochsan. According to Rav Meir, it would be enough that the stones are already placed, are already ready, they're already shaped and ready to be used for whatever purpose it is, whether it's going to be, Hochatel Gimu Avne De'akva, when we say that here in Bavel, they explain that the stones of our Mishnah are Avne De'akva, the Rav Meir, so if we go according to the mayor's opinion, that would mean the Misaknan, they've already been prepared for the purpose, whether they need to be shaped or whether they need to be whatever it is that needs to be done, Afa Gabdolay Mochsan, even if they're not actually lying in the field right now, then the mayor would say that that's already considered Tashmishe Soda, and therefore that they're included, even though they're not actually lying in the field right now. Whereas according to the Chachamim, they would only be included only if they're actually lying in the field right now. Only then would they be considered batel to the field, because the Chachamim hold that you haven't automatically sold all tashmishim, only the ones that are regularly used. So if they're actually in the field, then we can say they're regularly used, and if not, then not. Tosfos explains a little bit differently. First of all, Tosfos says it doesn't mean they actually have to be lying on the grain right now. It's enough that they're lying in the field. But Tosfos learned that loy machson means that machson and loy machson means that whether they were already ever placed on the drying grain. So according to the mayor, it would be enough that they're ready for that purpose. You prepared them for that purpose, even if you never actually put them on the bundles of grain, whereas according to the Chachamim, it would have to be that they've actually been placed on there once. So the definition of Mochsan is going to differ between Rashbam and Tosfos, where according to Rashbam, whether according to the mayor, even if they're outside the field and aren't even inside it yet, and according to the Chachamim, dafke if it's inside, whereas according to Tosfos, we're definitely talking about that they're inside the field, but whether they've ever been placed on the bundles of grain or not. Ula d'omra avonim asduris together. Now, what about Ula's opinion that the stones we're talking about are ones that are placed in position for a fence? So it's not necessary, according to the mayor, for them to be placed in place. The mayor de Masaknan, Afagab Lai Sadran, according to the mayor, it would be enough that they're ready for this purpose, they're shaped and whatever for that purpose of building the fence, Afagab Lai Sadran, even though they're not placed in position one on top of the other. Lura Banan, and according to the Chachamim, when are they included? Sadran, only if they're actually arranged in the places where they're going to be. You have the fence is actually built, that just hasn't been mortared yet. Okay. Next, we said Vesakonim Shemakedem Shem Mitzokoi. We said that also included in the sale are weeds that are in a vineyard that are necessary for the vineyard. Now the Gemara is gonna ask the question, because the Gemara assumes that Ashbam says that konim usually means that they're growing in place. Like we had in the Mishnah, the chitza sakanim, we had this thicket of reeds, means that you have a natural place where they're growing, you have a root underground, and you have a bunch of reeds growing from it. So here the Gemara is assuming that the kanim of this part of the Mishnah are also talking about such of that. So the question is, kanim maya vitayu, what are reeds doing there? Why would a vineyard need reeds growing in the middle of it? And the answer is, we're not talking about that they're growing. They said in the Yeshiva Rav Yanai, kanim amcholokin, this means reeds that are mcholokin, shemaminim tachsak panim, you place them under the vines to keep them up, because otherwise a vine by itself will naturally sprawl all over the ground. So sometimes you put it on a trellis, different kinds of things. So here you would use sticks to hold up the vine. Mcholokin, Rashbam explains, it comes from the word chelak, meaning that you split them, they're split, they're forked at the top, so that you can put the branch of the vine on them and it won't fall off. Tosfos instead brings from the Aruch that mecholokin is from the Shodosh Cholok, which means smooth, which in that case means that they're smoothed out, they're peeled of their bark so that they don't rot, so that water doesn't get into under the bark and cause them to rot. Whatever the case, the point is, we're not talking about ones that are growing naturally from the ground. We're talking about ones that previously that were detached and are standing there in the vineyard, and you're using them and you're using them to hold up the grapes. So again, let a mayor, according to the mayor, who has a more expansive definition of tashmishim than the mishapion, it would be enough that they're smoothed out or forked after gabdolei mokman, even though they're not actually standing in the places they need to be. L'rabbanan, and according to the chachamim, who don't have that expansive definition, who demokman only if they're actually standing in place already, then they would be sold. Next, we said in the Mishnah,
standing there.
No, we're talking about standing there as in you place them in the position where you're going to need them to hold up the vine branches.
So when is it clue, when is it not clue?
So that's the thing. What we're saying is, if appointed a mayor, it's enough that you prepared them for the purpose. You already made them forked at the top, and they're according to Rashbam, and peeled off the bark according to the Aruch, and they're all ready for use, even though right now you have them stored someplace else in the field. Nevertheless, your mayor would say they're already sold. According to the Chum, only if you actually stood them up in position under the vines to hold them up when the vines start growing. Next, we said that also included is grain that's attached to the ground. So the chiddush is even if it's already ready to be harvested. So you would think many times in Gemara we say that when grain is ready to be harvested, it's not considered mechubal karka anymore. But nevertheless, we're saying the fact is that here, when you're selling the field, that Ashbam points out, practically speaking, you're selling a field. You're not going to have the guy is going to say, well, fine, yeah, I'm buying the field, and you can still have your grain here, and you'll come in and harvest it at some point. That defeats the purpose of buying a field. So therefore, we can assume that he sold the grain that's still attached to the ground. Because fine, you all have to wait until. Then in that case, so I don't want to wait. I need to sell it now for whatever reason. So therefore, fine, I'm willing to sell you the grain that's attached to the ground now.
Wait, looking at it, because it's like the furniture of the house.
No, but that's the thing. It's attached to the ground. So therefore, with that said though, the Ritva points out there may be a difference we're saying that's already ready to be harvested, but is it still going to continue growing and improving as long as it's attached? He says that's what the Gemara is talking about over here. If not, then so the Rashbam is saying that usually we would say that grain that's ready to be harvested is considered like harvested, and only here it says a practical matter because it's only a practical matter. The Ritva says no, even within this, we have to distinguish between whether it's completely ripe and having it attached to the ground is not going to make any more difference to it versus where it will. Okay. Then we said in the Mishnah of Eschitzes HaKanem Shepchosim B'Beis Roiva that you have this thicket of reeds which takes up a space less than a Beis Roiva. So the Chiddush is V'Af Gavda Alimi, even though the individual reeds are very thick, so you would think they have a Chashivus of their own, but nevertheless, since the total area that thicket takes up is less than a Beis Roiva, then therefore it's bottled to the field.
Even it's better, right?
Right. Alimi means thick. So imagine, like, for example, a stand of bamboo or something. So you can have very thin ones, and then you can have where they've grown over time and they're very thick. So you would think each individual one is very thick. They have a certain chashivos of their own, even if it only takes up a small amount of space in the field. And we're saying that not. As long as it's total space that this stand
takes up
is less than a base roiva, then. Okay, we said you have a guardhouse which is not smeared with clay, is sold with the field. And the point is, even though it's not fixed to the ground, so you think it's metaltlin, nevertheless, it is sold together with the field. According to Rabbeinu Hananel's Girsa, it would be the other way around that we're saying that if it is smeared with clay, it is included with the sale. The reason would be because it's kriya ba'ara, because it's attached to the ground, and therefore it's part of the field. Next, And we said that with the field, automatically you've sold an ungrafted carob tree and an unchopped shikma tree. The point is, even though by now they're very strong and thick, nevertheless until you do these respective things, so the chorov and the shikma, they're not considered so important. So, however, the Mishnah continued. However, he has not sold stones that are not necessary for the field. So again, we had the two different opinions of the Amoraim, what these stones are, and we have the two different opinions of the Tanoim, how much is included in the sale of a field or a vineyard. So again, let's go through that. If we say that the stones are the ones that are being used to hold down the bundles of grain to keep them from flying away, then according to the mayor, we would have to understand that when we say stones that are not necessary for the field, means the limus saknan, they haven't even been prepared for use yet. They're stamped random stones. L'rabbanan, according to the chachamim, even though they're prepared for use, the lemachson, but they're not lying in there yet, then they wouldn't be sold. Again, according to the Rashbam, lemachson means they're not lying in the field, but rather outside it. According to Tosfos, it would mean they've never been placed on top of the bundles of grain.
That's part of the tools.
But again, if they're prepared for use, and according to the mayor, it's enough that they're prepared. According to the chum, it also has to be moksan, that they're lying in the field or that they've previously been used for this purpose, then already they're considered part of the field. But otherwise, we're saying that not.
Previously, in the past year, yes.
Yeah.
Past year was used, but this year wasn't used yet.
No, we're saying that have they ever been used? So you can use pastures, you can reuse the same stones from one year to the next.
That would be the first hope.
Then we had Ula's opinion that says that the stones of our Mishnah are ones that are laid in place for a fence. So then again, the Rameyer and the Chacham are going to disagree what the case is where they're not sold. According to Rameyer, it would have to be where they're not even prepared for use. They haven't even been shaped for use in the fence yet. Even though they've been shaped for that purpose, but they haven't actually been laid out in courses to make the fence, then according to the Chachamim, they wouldn't be sold with the field. Okay. We said, not, you haven't sold the sticks or reeds that are in the vineyard that are not necessary for it. So again, according to the mayor, that would mean they have not yet been forked or peeled or whatever and made ready for use, then they wouldn't be sold with it. Even if they've already been shaped and everything, but they're not actually standing in place to hold up the vines, then they wouldn't be sold with the field. We said, you haven't automatically sold grain that is detached from the ground. That means for Afagav Ditzricha La'ara, even though it still needs the ground in the sense that usually, again, after the harvest, you usually spread out the grain to dry it before you actually go and start the next process of threshing and winnowing and everything of it. So it still needs the ground. Nonetheless, it's not mechubal lekarka. Therefore, it's not automatically sold with the people. It doesn't need this particular ground. It just needs that. We said, you also haven't sold a thicket of reeds where the total area of the thicket is larger than a base reva. And the chiddush is, even though the individual reeds are very small and are very small and thin, but since the total area that the whole stand of them takes up is base reva or more, then it's choshev on its own. And it's considered, like the Rashbam said, as though like another field within the larger field. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Chiya Abba Amar Rav Yechanan, Loi Chitza Sakanim Bilvad. You should know this kind of thing of base roiva or whatever is not specific to a chitza sakanim. Ela afila aruga ktana shel besamim. Even if you have inside the field is a small plot where you grow spices, even though it's smaller than a base roiva, liyesh lo shem ifnei atzma. If it has a name of its own, if it's called something by its own, then it wouldn't automatically be sold with the field. Vineyards or other kinds of trees, yes. But when you have So the same way as we're saying with reeds, the minimum amount of area that it has to take up for it to be choshuv is a beis roiva. When you have an area where you're growing spices, even smaller than a beis roiva would be considered choshuv. Amar a papa v'hu dekoru lavod v'arde de planya, provided that, for example, people call it the rose garden of plin. So therefore, so that they call it by a separate name of its own. So therefore, it's chashuv. Yeah.
It's not sold with the field.
So it's not sold with the field. That's the point, right?
That is chashuv. Yeah. Stand,
but yeah.
The field. How's it?
Yeah, but that's the point. In other words, even though it's in the middle of the field, as the Rashbam said, in effect, it's a separate field of its own. The very fact that people called it Varda de Planya, Pliny's rose garden or Pliny's spice bed or whatever, makes it that it has a shibus of its own, and therefore if you're selling the field, that's not automatically included. You would have to specify it.
You have to have a way else to get there.
Well, that's another matter. We learned that earlier in the parak. Yeah, about the machlokas, Rav Akiva and the Chachamim, whether you need to buy a right of way to go there or whether it's automatically included. Yeah. Okay. Then we said v'loy hashemeda hasuy betit. And we said also not included with the field is a guardhouse that is smeared with clay. So for alpha gavta mechabra ba'ara, even though it's attached to the ground, via ba'ara, Agos Habach says it's fixed to the ground. Nevertheless, though, it's still not bottled to the field. It's considered in effect a separate field of its own. According to Rabbi Hanano, it would be the other way around. If it's not smeared with clay, then the point is, even though right now it happens to be attached to the ground, but it's easy enough to pick it and move it up someplace else, so therefore it's not bottled to the field, and therefore it's like other metalplin that aren't sold. Continues the Gemara, v'loya schor of amulka and v'loya sada nashikra, and you haven't sold together with the field the grafted carob tree or the trunk of the shikma. And the point is, v'afagav d'ktini, even though right now they're very small and thin, but nevertheless they've already done these things to them, so therefore they're choshuv in and of itself just for having had these things done, even though right now they're not that big yet. The reason this is in parenthesis, by the way, is that the Rashbam says, one second, the Gemara is going to be bringing in another point about the Gemara is going to discuss now about Malbinus Shel Psachim, which is part of the discussion about the Shemera. So therefore, the Chor of Amurkav and whatever should go later on. First, the Gemara would be finishing off with the Shemera and with another side thing that comes from that discussion, and then it would go back to finishing the Mishnah. Tosfos says you don't really need that because it's very common that the Mishnah, that the Gemara will first go through explaining the Mishnah and then it'll start digressing to other topics. So it's fine to say that the Gemara is first finishing off with the Chor of Amurkav and the Sadna Shikma. That takes care of the discussion of the Mishnah, and now we're going to go on to another topic. So, Boi Rabbi Lozer. So Rabbi Lozer asks the question, Malbin Hashop Psochim Mahu. What about when you're selling, are you automatically selling the frames around the doors? Now, the Rashbam explains that this is part of the question about the Shemera. Actually, the Rashbam says that no, this is actually talking about you sell a house. So, in other words, having mentioned a Shemera, which is or isn't attached to the, which is or isn't smeared with clay, so now the Gemara digresses a minute to discuss about door frames which are or aren't attached in place with mortar.
The
Shemera is the hut. But now that Rashbam says we're not talking about the Shemera, the next couple of lines, we're talking about a regular house. You're selling a house and you have a door frame, which is the Gemara is going to distinguish over here, whether it's attached with mortar or not, is it automatically sold with the house? That's according to the Rashbam. Tosfos says no. The fact is we're not dealing with selling houses over here, selling houses we dealt with earlier in the past. Rather, we're talking about a Shemera. With the Shemera, this hut, if it has a frame around the door, is that automatically going to be sold with it? So, Hecha de Mechabu Betina, where the frame of the door is attached in place with mortar, Loitzi Boilach, then there's no question. The Mechabu, it's attached in place. So this door frame is attached to the house, according to the Rashbam, or to the hut, according to Tosfos. And therefore, of course, automatically it's sold. The question is, what about if it's only held in place with nails or pegs? So therefore, it's very easy to take it off. So is it automatically sold with it? So my teiku. So teiku. So we can't be sure. In those days, yeah, they might move it from one. Similarly, boy rabzera malbinus shochalonis ma. Similarly, rabzera asks, what about the frames around windows? So what's the point? In other words, the Rashbam says, you want to say maybe it's one thing with the frames around the doors, you could say that even though they're only attached in place with nails, because the difference is a door frame is not just there for decoration, it helps strengthen the doorway. But the frames around windows, if they're only held in place with nails, then they're really more decorative rather than structural. So maybe they're not sold. So again, do we say that they're only there for decorative purposes and therefore maybe they're not sold? The fact is they are attached in place, even only with nails. So therefore, maybe that's enough for them to be sold together with the building and again taken. Another one, here's another one. What about the frames that go under the legs of beds? So the Rashbam explains that, and you have this nowadays as well. Sometimes you put under the legs of a bed. You put little nowadays. You have like these little plastic things or whatever that you can put underneath it. The point is this way that the bed. So this way the ends of the legs don't sink. Well, the Rashbam says said they don't rot from the ground. Remember they had earthen floors, which would get wet. So you'd have the legs are made out of wood, so you would have they'd rot eventually. So therefore, you'd put them on top of these pieces, these malbinos, in order to keep them from rotting. The Ravid gives a different version of it. He says that means that they're a frame around the bed, so things don't fall off the bed. So sometimes, again, you might attach them to the frame permanently, and sometimes you might just have them standing around the bed. So Rabbi Yumi is asking about that. Malbinus shokari amitamahu, these malbinus that are for the legs of the bed. So kol hechad metaltli bahadol tiboyloch. Now, if they're attached to the bed and they move together with the bed, then there's no question, don't metaltli, because then they go together with the bed. Tiboyloch hechad lo metaltli. The question really would be where they're not moved. Now the question itself: are we talking about so the Rashbam explains the question is when you're selling the bed, do those malbinus go with it? The Rambam has a different understanding of it that we're talking about. You're selling a house, so we said before the furniture doesn't go along with it, but maybe the malbinus and mita do. So that's a Rabiumi's question. So okay, if they're not movable, maybe they'd be sold together with the house. So according to the Rashbam, since they don't move together with the bed, maybe they're not sold or sold automatically with the bed. And again, take. Okay. Now we said in the Mishnah, we said that another thing that is not, we said the last thing that's not sold automatically with the field is a chorav amuka or sadana shikma, because we said those types of trees are very choshov on their own, and therefore they're considered, like, in other words, in effect, a smaller field within the larger field. A shikma, we said, is a sycamore tree. The main thing is that you use it for beans. You use the wood of it over time. The trunk of it grows very thick, and you chop it up and use it for beans. So once you've chopped off the branches so that the trunk will get thicker and thicker, then it's choshu. Until then, not. For the choru, it's when you graft branches from other carob trees onto it, then it becomes choshu. So the Gemara says, minahanimil. Where do we get this from? That the schor of amukav and sadna shikma are not included with the field. What makes us say so? It's one thing. So we said in the Mishnah again, you had categories of things in the Mishnah that are tashmishin that are not attached to the field, but they're lotsoka and they're included. The chorov and the sadan were saying they're considered a soda of their own, like you said before. So where do we get the idea that they should be considered a soda of their own to the extent that they're not automatically sold with the field? The point of the question is actually, you know, Rav Chanan Wasserman points out, why do we need to learn it from a pasuk? Pretty much everything we've been saying in the perek so far is based on logic, on what people usually do. Why all of a sudden is the Gemara bothered by this and needs a pasuk for it? And one answer is because, after all, the guy is saying, So you would think then maybe it should include these things. Now the Rashbam is saying not, because in effect these are like a separate field. And again, if I say to you, I'm selling you this field and this field, doesn't automatically include the field between them. Nevertheless, the Gemara is bothered by Taka. Why not? Why are these things considered a field of their own? And therefore the Gemara needs to bring a pasuk for it. So Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, the Amar Kro, the pasuk says, when Avraham bought Ma'oros Machpelah from Ephron, by Yochum Sde Ephron Asher Machpelah, the field of Ephron that was in the, that was in Machpelah, stood up and became Avraham's property. And the pasuk goes on to mention that also it included all the trees. So Rashbam explains, Ephron had sold him the land, but Eretz Arameis Shekel Kesef. But when it describes what Avraham bought, it describes that he bought the field as well as all the trees that are in the area of the field. So in other words, by buying the land, automatically he bought the trees. Now the pasuk also says that the expression of the pasuk is that he bought all the trees asher b'chol gvuloi soviv, that are all around, that are in its boundary. Now those words in the pasuk are extra. It could have just said b'chol eitz asher b'sadeh, any of the trees in the field. Why asher b'chol gvuloi soviv? So therefore, so we're doushing from it. Mishat sorech legvul soviv. Whenever you need a boundary, around it, then it's included. Yotzu eilu shein tzrichim legvul soviv, as opposed to the chorav amurkav and the sadan hashikma, you don't need to mention the boundaries around them because they have a chashivus of their own. So in other words, when we say Avraham bought the field of Machpelah and all the trees, these were not trees that had any chashivus of their own. So the only way, how would you note these trees? You would say this tree is inside Pliny's field. As opposed to a Chorav HaMurkam and a Sadna Shikma, you can mention them individually. You don't even need to mention they're in Pliny's field. You just said there's a Chorav HaMurkam around here and everybody knows where it is. Actually, the Rashbam says, what it is, in other words, when we say Shitzrichim Legvul, is in other words that a person is going to say that, well, they're planted in my field, they're automatically mine. That would only apply to smaller, thinner trees where they don't have a name of their own, so you don't even remember who planted them. A Chorav HaMurkav and a Sadna Shikma, it's very well known that they're there. Everybody knows whose they are, and you know whose land they're growing in, so you don't need to demarcate. So a person wouldn't need to say, for example, I own this field automatically, I own these trees, because it's not. They have a chashivus of their own. So we learn that from this pasuk. Yotzu eilu shein tzrichim legvul soviv, so as opposed to these kinds of trees that don't require a gvul all around because they have a chashivus of their own and people know who planted them to begin. Omra Mesharshi, Makan L'Metzora Min HaTorah. So the Mesharshi says, from here we learn Min HaTorah, the concept of the borders of a field. Meaning, in other words, that when you buy a field, ordinarily they would have, in those times, they would have what marks the boundary between one field and the next would be a berm of earth. You'd have like a pile of dirt that would run along the length of the field. That automatically is included with the field when you sell it. Because again, those are so it would include those, it would include any trees that are growing on them, because in other words, the word saviv implies those things as well. That's according to the Rashbam. There are Rishonim who learn the She'iltas and Rabbeinu Gershom learn a different meaning of Mikan L'Metzora Min HaTorah. Means from here we learn Min HaTorah that when you're selling land, you have to specify the boundary. As we learned earlier in the parak, you say on this side it adjoins Reuven's field, on that side it adjoins Shimon's field. And like nowadays, for example, you buy a house, you have on the deed, you know, it starts at 200 feet from this street, and it runs 60 feet in that direction and 80 feet in that direction and whatever. So that's mitzorim. So from here we learn Minatorah, the concept of mentioning mitzorim when you're selling a field or when you're selling any kind of real estate. Okay, the Gemara says, Omer of Yehuda. When a person is selling land to somebody else, he should write in the shtar, Kniloch Diklin, you're going to also thereby acquire for yourself all of the fully mature palm trees, the tolin, and all of the young palm trees, the hutzin v'tzitzin, and also the hutzin and tzitzin, which Rashbam describes that these are other kinds of palm trees. So you have several different kinds of palm trees. So you should mention. So even though none of them are choshuv enough to be sold separately. As we said, you sell a field automatically. All of those are included. Nevertheless, you should mention them in the shtar as well. The Oruch has a different definition. The Oruch explains that Diklin and Tolin. So Diklin, he says, yes, means fully mature palm trees, like the Rashbam says. Tolin, he says, means other kinds of fully mature trees. Kutzin would be other kinds of small trees, and Sinin would be small palm trees. So the point is that you should list, you should mention that I'm selling you all the various kinds of trees, whether they're palm trees or other kinds, and whether they're mature or not. Now it is true that even if he didn't write that, he would be koine, because after all, we said in the Mishnah that only a chorav amurkav and sadna shikma are not included. Nevertheless, afilo hochi shufer at the shtaruhu, but it's still the beauty of the shtar. It's still good to write like that. But this way, if the matter comes to Beis Din, then it's clear whom it belongs to. After all, the Rashba points out, you know, what you have is, and not everybody knows all these dinim that you have in these Mishnayos and Gemaras and all. So a person is going to complain and say, wait a minute, I sold you this field. I didn't mean to sell the trees as well. When you have it written out in the Shtar, then there's no room for argument, and therefore that makes things much easier for Beis Din. Another din. What if a person says to somebody else, I'm selling you land and palm trees? So that doesn't imply that the palm trees have to be in the field. So chazinan, so we have to see, e is the dikli, if the seller has palm trees, then he has to give him two palm trees, meaning all the ones that are in the field are automatically going to be included. But because he said specifically, aravidically, then therefore it means he has to also provide him with two other palm trees outside the field. Dickly, being plural, means at least two. In the field, all of them are included, because those didn't even need to be mentioned at all. But now, because he's saying, in other words, it's one thing when he's saying, like we just said, the Loshen, I'm selling you this field, and with it are all the trees in it. Then it means all the trees in it. But when he says, I'm selling you a field and palm trees, so that implies two palm trees aside from the field. So chazinim, e islay dikli, if he has palm trees of his own, yoyvlay tre dikli, then he has to give him two palm trees in addition to the field. The ileslay, if he doesn't have zabin lay tre dikli, then he has to buy two palm trees to give to him, because that was part of the deal.
Why would he say that? So? He doesn't have it. Why would he bring it up?
Whatever. The point is that he did. The imishabdi. What if he has two palm trees, but there's under a shibud to a malva? Well, then porik like tredikli. Then he would have to redeem them. He'd have to take away the shibud and then give the other guy the two palm trees. The Rashbam brings a different gusa over here that says not whether the person has palm trees of his own outside the field, but rather if the field has palm trees in it. So the word is not, according to the second Girsa, the word is not e is lay if he has, but rather e is bay if the field has in it two palm trees. Meaning, according to that Girsa, it would mean that if there are palm trees in the field, then he only has to give him two of them, and he can keep the rest for himself. The Rashbam says, "What are you talking about? We just said in the Mishnah that when you sell a field, then automatically all the trees grow and go with it. Why, when he says over here, out of a dikli, why would that take away from the buyer that now he's going to get fewer trees than he would otherwise?" On the other hand, Tosfos defends that and says it's true. If he hadn't mentioned the palm trees at all, then all of them would be sold. But Tosfos says, yeah, now that he mentioned them, then it actually makes it worse. Because of the fact that he specified. So therefore, in other words, in effect, what it means is only two palm trees. In other words, I'm specifically excluding other ones. Tosfos mentions the Gemara is going to talk about. We'll learn tomorrow about Hashem. You have an example where a person says, "I'm selling you this field except for such and such a choruv tree." Then the implication is all the other choruv trees are included. So the same way in reverse over here, you're saying, "I'm selling you the field with dikli." The implication is I'm only selling you two dekolin, two palm trees, and no more. So the Rashbam is saying, I don't understand why not. Tosfos is saying, here is a reason why. Okay, continues the Gemara. Arabidically, what about if he says, I'm selling you land with palm trees? So Bidikli suggests that it actually has palm trees growing in it. Chazinan, so now we have to see, Ispadikli, if there are actual palm trees growing in the field, then Yohivlei, then that's it. He gives him, then that's the field. The Ilav, Nekachtosu, if not, then the other guy can say it's a Nekachtos, and I want to void the sale because my understanding was I'm buying land that actually has palm trees in it, and you sold me land without palm trees. So it's a Nekachtos. What about there are different girsas, actually not Yohivle. Goisabach has the girsa instead, Zvini Zvini. The sale is a valid sale if there are palm trees in it. But if not, then it's a mechatos. So that Rashbam points out, we do say ein oinol kakos, but that means if you sold land at above its normal market value, then we say there's no oinol for it. But here, we're not talking about selling it for more than its market value. Here, we're talking about it's a mistaken thing. I wouldn't have bought this land if I knew that there weren't any palm trees in it when I expected that, based on what you said, that there are palm trees in it.
Wouldn't feel about seeing it.
That may also be, but that's another matter. Yeah, okay. Next. Arabically, what about if the guy says, I'm selling you a land that is suitable for palm trees? Well, then, less ledikli, that doesn't mean that the buyer is automatically entitled to any trees, the chazir ledikli palm alay, because all it means is it's the land that is suitable to grow palm trees in. It's got the right kind of soil and climate and whatever, where you could plant palm trees if you want. And so therefore it wouldn't be a mechatos, even though there are no trees. The Rashbam says, nevertheless, if there are trees in them, then it would belong to the Lekeach. Because again, it means, in other words, that so then, because again, the trees are included with the field, like we've been saying. And when he says out of Chazir Ledikli, he means, in other words, you should know it's a place where palm trees grow very well and produce lots of fruit. So therefore, so if there are any right now, then they're included in the sale. But if there aren't any, the other guy can't say mekachtos, because the seller can say, I didn't mean there are palm trees in it right now. I meant that it's a place where if you plant palm trees over there, they'll grow very well. Next, omale b'bamidikla planya. What about if he tells him, I'm selling you this land except for a particular palm tree? Chazinan, then we have to see what the situation is. What kind of palm tree is that? If it's a good quality tree, shayure shayre, then yes, it means that he left it out specifically. The Rashbam says tova doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be the best quality. It just means it's an average one. It produces a certain amount of fruit. So then it means, in other words, he still wants to have a little bit of something left over from his field. He had to sell his field because he's short on cash or whatever it is, but he still, for sentimental reasons or whatever, he still wants to have this particular tree and continue to have the fruit from it. Idikla bishahu, but if it's a bad palm tree, meaning, in other words, the Rashbam says that it produces less than a kav of fruit, it means kol shekein hanach. Then it means when he says I'm selling you the field minus this tree, then it means all the more so. It means that I'm reserving all the trees for myself, because then, in other words, in effect, what he's saying is even this one, which produces very little fruit, I want to keep for myself. So therefore, we're meant to understand that it would mean all the other ones that are better quality than it are also not included in the sale. That's how the Rashbam explains most of Rishonim agree with him. Rabbi Hai Goin brings an explanation that Tova means actually the very best one. The Rimigash, for example, says, similar to the Rashbam, he says it doesn't mean the very best or the very worst. It means like someplace in between. But Rabbi Hai Goin actually gives an explanation that Tova would mean the very best one. Okay. What about another case where he says, I'm selling you the field minus the trees? So, if there are actually trees in the field, then it means that he's selling the field minus those trees. Fine. He specifically excluded them. But we have to distinguish between different kinds of trees. If he says, then it means that he's not including any of the kind of trees, with the exception that Rashbam says, as the Gemara is going to go on to say, palm trees and vines are not considered in the category of trees for this purpose. Meaning in Loshen B'nai Adam, when people say Elon, they mean other kinds of trees with the exception of those two, because palm tree and vines have a name of their own in Loshen Kodesh. They're called Dkolim and Gfanim, respectively. So he says, I'm selling you Levarme Iloni. It's Iloni. If the field has other kinds of trees in it, then it means Levarme Iloni. That means he's selling the field minus the trees. If the field does not have any other kinds of trees in it, but it does have palm trees, then Levar Medikli. Then we have to reinterpret his when he says, except for the Ilonis, then it means the palm trees. Palm trees are not usually in the category of Ilonis. Fine, if there were other trees there, we would say that. But since right now the only trees in that field are palm trees, then we have to say that's what he was referring to. E is the gufni, and similarly, if the field only contains grapevines, levami gufni. So again, even though grapevines usually have a name of their own and they're not in the category of Ilon, but here, since the only trees in the field are grapevines, and he said levami iloni, then it means that he's excluding those. What about iloni v'gufni? What about if there are other kinds of trees as well as grapevines? Levami iloni. Then we interpret his levami iloni to refer to the other trees and not the grapevines. Meaning, in other words, that then we would say that he has sold the grapevines together with the field, but not the other trees, not the apple trees or whatever other kind of trees or whatever other kind of tree. The Rashbam gives examples: olive trees, fig trees, etc. So in other words, when there's Ilonis plus grapevines, when the other trees plus grapevines, and the word Ilonis goes on the other trees. Similarly, if you have other trees and palm trees, then he says, I'm selling you minus the Ilonis, Levame Iloni, then it means minus the other trees, but the date palms are included in the sale, because again, those are not in the narrow category of Ilonis. And gufni v'dikli, what about if all you have there is grapevines and palm tree, and neither one is called Ilon Stam? So then we have to say levarmi gufni. Then we say that it means that he's leaving out the grapevines, because grapevines are more called within. We're saying the narrow category of Ilon doesn't include either one of them, but if it's between one and the other, Ilon is the name Ilon is going to be more applicable to grapevines than it is to date. So therefore, so if he says levarmi iloni, whatever the reason is, it's loshen b'nei adam. Whatever the reason is, but the point is by saying levarmi iloni, he obviously means to leave out something. And since there's only date palms and grapevines, then we say the ilonis refers to the grapevines, and those he's keeping for himself and not including in the sale. Whereas the palm trees would be included in the sale. Then the Rashbam prefers that explanation. Then he brings that, no, what it is really neither one of them is called Ilonis. Neither one is called Ilon more than the other. What it would mean is the reason we would say he keeps the grapevine is because grapevines are better quality. They're worth more than date. But the Rashbam doesn't like that expression. The fact is, if neither one bears the name Ilon more than the other, then we would say that both, he means to keep both for himself. So therefore, so more preferable to say that it means it's true that in the narrow sense, grapevines are not called Ilon, but when it's a choice between them and date palm, then grapevines are called Ilon more than date palm. So therefore, see what it would mean by saying that I'm keeping the Ilonis, then in that case, it would mean he's keeping the grapevines.
Because the Ilonis, depending what
there is. Depending on how many of there are, I guess, yeah. Okay. Okay, everyone.